pray. Father, I thank you this morning for what you're doing. I thank you for breathing fresh life and being found in the same place. And it's not in a building. It's not a dress code. It's not in a song. It's not in a preacher. Your presence is your presence. And wherever your presence would move on from here, you'd lead us, that we would camp right in your presence every time. I thank you for your favor. You'd move on the word today. You'd impact our hearts with it, and you'd be glorified in the end. And the church said, amen. Amen. I will take off my hat real quick, but I warn you, underneath is not pretty. I was up north for a couple days, and I don't even think I looked in a mirror. I couldn't tell you if we have one there, to be honest with you. But sometimes, you know, the reason I take off my hat today mostly is for my wife's sake. And I use it as an example because in culture, do you know that if you read your Old Testament, so the priests wore hats. Say culture. Yeah, some things are culture. Those are some kind of things that Jesus got torqued about. He said, you guys care more about itty-bitty, teeny-weeny little laws that are nothing compared to you, and you're still, you know, you care about tithing, which is great. You should tithe. Jesus said you should do that. Even to the little spreads, do that, you guys, but you miss the big things. Don't get caught up if dude's wearing a hat. Seriously, that's culture. If you can't receive someone speaking in a hat, it's not the hat guy's problem. Right, Sean Z? It's not the hat guy's problem. Of course, I might be the problem, Max, but I'm saying it's not just the hat guy. Maybe you got a religious problem. And you got to let Jesus crack some of those things in your life because it makes you miss what's important. Little stupid distractions make you, come on, they're in the church. You're going to get it this morning. I was up north for 3 days. I got to see deer. I'm wired. We'll recap real quick. Paul, Festus, Agrippa, and Bernice, prison time. Here's a fact. God used prison time to preserve Paul's life. I have a real quick Jacob Villarreal mini testimony you should listen to. As Jacob said, God allowed that time of his life to save his life. Jake, he's going to publicly talk about a little prison life. Can you imagine our keyboardist ever being that guy? Can you ever imagine Jake rolling around in the hood? I can imagine, because hood rats recognize hood rats. But if you don't know him, you're like, Jacob? Yeah, Jake, you come tell us a little bit of how prison time saved your life. Come on up.
First, God is good. Like when I was a kid, I was just totally in trouble all the time. Had my first five felonies when I was nine. Probation my whole kid's years, all the way up to adulthood. County jail, back to prison. But my final prison stay was worse because I was looking at. I was looking at a lot of time, like 20, 25 plus years, and I had kids, and I had a girl that I was not there for. And while I was in the midst of all this, I sat in jail for 2 months, and nobody heard from an attorney, nobody heard from a judge, nobody heard from my PO, nobody heard from anybody, so nobody knew what was going on. I was sitting there for 2 months. Every Thursday, this man would come and preach, and he had a similar testimony. And so it just made me realize that I could change too. So what was this God that I heard of before, but I didn't pay attention to? What is this God now? What is this God in my life? And he asked if anybody wanted to be saved, and I was the first one to raise my hand. Every Thursday night, I listened to that guy. And then finally, I got a phone call. It's called the attorney phone. It's on the wall. And this is after 2 months of not hearing from anybody. And it was my PO. And he said, I don't know who's looking after you. He's like, but they're dropping the charges. He He said, you're going to prison on your original charges, but they're going to get rid of all these other charges. You're going to do way less time than you're going to look forward to in the future. So I said, thank God. If it wasn't for him, I don't know. He was looking out for me. And here I am now. I got a great church family. I got a great family, a wife and kids. And I can say all glory to God.
And the Villa Real family has been a pillar here for a long time. So God can use your prison, right, Jake? God can use your prison. Give him some love. He's not afraid to share the dark parts of his story. That's one thing I love about Jake. We hit right away, you know. We always can't share all of our stories around our wives because it makes them stressed. They don't care who we used to be. They don't want to hear what happened. It's too scary. Move on, right, man? But Dr. Honey's like, I'm not even going to smile at that. I encourage you, right? But for some transforming from Saul to Paul, Paul took some beatings and he learned some lessons in between, but prison was used to save Paul's life. Prison was used to save Jake's life from what he was running around. It's the only time he can get some of our attention. He puts us in these places that are uncomfortable and he forces us to stay there until we get it. Ever been in one of those? Second thing, it gave him opportunity to testify for Christ. And then the third thing it did for Paul being in prison was also help the New Testament get written. God had a plan for prison. Sometimes we want to fight against prisons, but sometimes God allows them in our life. Anybody brave enough to raise your hand about prisons he allows? All right, Jake, me, you. Here we go. There's some people. Ain't scared. Thank you, sugar. They ain't scared. I have a slide. It's a good time for a slide. Some prisons the enemy puts us in. Ever been put in prison by the enemy? Ever been addicted to anything? Ever served the darkness? Before you knew Jesus, ever just rolled whatever you're rolling with it and you served it? Yeah, good head nods there. Some prisons the enemy puts us in. Some prisons we put ourselves in. Jake's like, I did some stuff. I deserve some stuff. Ever do some stuff? You deserve your prison. You might have fought it, but you know, that's consequences. I can't have a brownie after dinner because I didn't eat my dinner. So prison, it's how prison's like, I assume. You know, how about this? Some prisons God allowed to protect us and accomplish his will. Jake, right? Some prisons God allows to protect us and to accomplish his will. There's only a few episodes left. We're almost there to finish Acts. We started this journey, I can't even remember when. Check the ancient archives. I don't know. Let's jump into Acts 26. Acts 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you may speak in your defense. Remember, Paul's on trial and he appealed and Agrippa's there and said, speak in your defense, gesturing with his hand. I love that. I just picture the robes, you know, speak in your defense. I may do that a lot more. Jake, speak about your testimony. You know. He says, I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations made by Jewish leaders. For I know that you are an expert in all Jewish customs and controversies. Now, please listen to me patiently. Say patiently. Ever not wait to hear the whole story and you just jump in? Anyone ever do that? If you're married, it happens, so you better raise your hands. Ever not hear the whole story and then you jump in with an opinion or you say something about something you didn't know? Like, I wish I would have not said that because I didn't know all the information. Now that I said it, I stuck my foot in my mouth. I should have just listened to the whole story and now my foot's sticking in my mouth and I should have been patient. Anybody? Wait patiently, he says. Proven Paul. He's proven. It's like, hey, listen, here's my story. You've seen it on, you know, the news. From town to town, you know who I am, you know. Proven Paul, not fake Paul. Not fake Jesus. Say no fake Jesus. Proven Paul teaches that we should listen patiently right here. Anyone ever need work on that, to listen patiently? Man, every day, I don't know what kind of saintly driver you are, but if you drive an AJ in the winter, you practice patience. If you go to a restaurant on a Friday night, you better exercise some patience or have baller money to call ahead. I don't know. Acts 26:4. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training. These guys know it. A thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my people and in Jerusalem. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews, bro. He's back in his old hood. Right? So ever think about going back to your old hood? Some people are like, woo, you're back. We sent you out. Remember Paul? We're like, yeah, that's our boy from Hebrew of Hebrews. Get out there. Go kill some people for God. Remember, that's what you sent me to do. Remember, I'm your boy. I'm from a little kid. I grew up in the scriptures. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, proven. You all know it, he says. You all know that. He says this, if they would admit, they know it. If they'd admit it, they know it. They know that I've been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest set of our religion, and now I'm on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. That's why I'm on trial. He says, in fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God, isn't it? Night and day, they share the same hope I have. The book that we read, that we've been taught from kids, said he's going to do this. The Messiah is coming. We've all read it from the scriptures. We read it. We know it. You guys all know that. That's why I have hope. Why? Because I believe what they taught me. I believe what God said in his word. They share my same hope. Yet, your majesty, they accuse me of having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you? And why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? Why is that incredible? Didn't we read about Egypt? Didn't we read about parting the sea? Didn't we read about getting away from? Like, yeah, from kids. Why would it be crazy to think that God can raise the dead? God can do anything. He created nothing. Out of nothing, he created something. We believe that. Genesis, right? And why is it crazy? And also, it's not only crazy. You studied, you know it's supposed to happen. You read it. We all read it. Why is it tripping you out? Acts 26:9. I used to believe that. I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. I used to believe that. Anyone else ever used to believe that? Anyone else ever been a non-believer before? When people talk Jesus about your head, you attract, or something on TV, you're like, come on, man. I'm trying to be nice, but phew. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. You're knocking on my door talking about Jesus. I'm not nice before Jesus. Anyone else ever used to be an atheist? Anyone in the room ever used to be a hardcore atheist? How about this? Ever used to be into black magic? How about been a pantheist? That means you believe a lot of different gods, you know. A bunch of different gods. How about you ever been just hardcore heathen? I just live for me. I was the god of me. Yeah. I used to believe that I ought to do everything, Paul said. Man, I was hardcore. I believed it. Say, I used to be. But sometimes it's, now we have to be what God has destined us to be, not just a better version of what you used to be. You don't come to Jesus to be a better version of what you used to be. You come to be a new creation. You come to be a disciple. To God change. It's no longer you that's God, no longer what you think is God. God is God, Lord is Lord. And what you used to be is different than what you're supposed to be. It's not just an improvement, it's an overhaul. Right? Yeah. Acts 26:9-11 this time. I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. I did it. But I was authorized by the leading priest. I caused many believers there to be sent to prison. Paul's on stage talking. He goes, you know, what the scripture says, and you know you sent me to do a job, and you know I did that job. I was hardcore into the job that you sent me to. I was authorized by the leading priest. I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were being condemned to death. Many times, say many times, many times, many times I had them punished in synagogues. Listen to this. Punished to get them to curse Jesus. What's that mean? I tortured those mugs. I cast my lot for to be have those guys killed. I was on a mission from God. I punished them whenever I could. Not only that, I tortured them so they would say curses on Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. It didn't matter they weren't in Jerusalem. They're hiding all over. I was hunting them down to torture them. I was hunting them down to put them in prison. I was hunting down people who revered and chose Jesus and believes he's the Messiah, and he saved them from their sin, and he rose again. I killed all those folks, and I was bent on it, and you authorized it, and you know that. Saul was the poster boy of persecution. So think about that. Why would he flip sides if it wasn't true? What crazy benefit did Paul get from flipping sides besides beating in prison and being jumped on from both sides? Besides, his Jesus story lines up with scripture that all Hebrews were taught. So he's got a scriptural premise for what he believed. He was hardcore the other side. And they all knew that. Why flip sides? For glamorous prison life? Acts 26, 12 through 15. So Paul's like, listen, one day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priest. Again, he's like, they know this. These guys that want me killed, they know all this. They didn't tell you the whole story, did they? It's all bad me. Yeah, there's another story. Don't jump into, you know the story, right? About noon, your majesty, I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. Either Paul's really dramatic or that was bright, like it was boom. It was a bright enough light, brighter than the sun. It shone down on me and the people that were with me. So imagine you're like, you're walking into, I don't know, your neighborhood. All of a sudden, boom, brighter than the sun, a light. And everybody you're walking with is just nothing, just shows right up. I don't know about you. That might have been enough for me to go, okay, this might be true. I don't know if I need another thing. Oh, okay. Right of the sun. Got it. But this is what happened. We all fell down. Not just Paul. This didn't just happen to me on some weird back road experience. Ask the other guys that were with me on this mission to kill Christians and be on the other side. What happened? A bright line hit all of us, and we all fell down. And I heard a voice. We all fell down, but I heard a voice. We all fell down. And a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Here's the tough part. It is useless for you to fight against my will. It is useless to fight against my will. It is useless to fight against God's will. If it's useless, then why do we do it? Why do we constantly keep seeking our own will and harm ourselves by seeking it? Anybody? We do it, right? We say God's will, and then when he puts us in a prison and he restricts us, we're like, ah! I want the will of God. Then get one out of prison life. You need to get out of prison life. Right? We pray for those things. And all of a sudden, this is happening to Saul. And God's like reminding him, listen, my will is all that's going to happen. Stop fighting against it. And there are people right now that are uncomfortable in their hearts right now. You know you're fighting against something in God's will. And I'm just saying, stop it. Stop it. It's not easy, but stop it. If you're prone to being critical because the dude wears hats on stage, stop it. If you're prone to be fussy because so-and-so preached something you didn't like, eat the chicken, spit out the bone, stop it. One of the lessons we learned is if you're critical, stop it. People are messy, right? Doesn't mean you stay messy. If you're a Christian, you're not trying to become like Christ. You're just living what you used to be. Then you probably haven't even found him. I'll moonwalk back slowly, you know. Paul was only persecuting one name. Saul, I'm sorry, this point. Saul was only persecuting one name. He knew. He knew who this was. But to be crystal clear, Paul says, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" I asked, and the Lord replied, "I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting." That's crystal clear. So a light, boom, all his companions, he on the ground. Ah! I hear this voice saying, "Why are you doing this, Saul? Directly to my soul. Why are you persecuting me?" I knew who the me was because I only persecuted one guy. The guy that you told me to go persecute, that guy, and everybody killed that believes in him. That's the only guy I've ever persecuted. But I asked him who he was, and he told me he was Lord. That's conversion. Paul, so obviously, you know, in his head, God bless you, in his head, Paul's going to be like, I had to change my mission, right? Well, I was on the wrong mission. Ever thought you were on a God mission, but you weren't really following God? It really was your mission? Ever do that? If you haven't made that mistake before, then you're about to. If you've never made that one, it happens. I had to acknowledge that there's Paul in his head after he tells this story. He had to acknowledge that the Messiah did what the scripture said. He talked about it. Or we all studied it. And then beyond a shadow of a doubt, this Jesus is legit Messiah. He showed up me on the road. The light, the sound, resurrected from the dead. The guy is persecuted. It was obvious. Say obvious. But to be honest, how long did it take many of us to see the obvious? Right. Sometimes it's hard to see the obvious. Come on. Sometimes it's hard to see the obvious. I see that point. Acts 26, 15 through 18. "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the Lord replied, "I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting." Now here's the big part. This is Jesus. You ready? Now get on your feet. Get on your feet. Say, get on your feet. Get off your ground. Admit you were wrong. Remember? Paul says, get off the ground. That's early we talked. When Paul first talked about his commission, he knocked him to the ground. He said, there's times you got to get off the ground. You can't just lay in the ground and woe is me and I'm beat up again. And I was on the wrong mission and I was doing the wrong thing. So I ought to slink away. Sorry about that, God. He said, no, get up. Repent from that. All fall short. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. So at some point in time, you're going to have to make that call. And then he says, get on your feet. Change, Aki, now. Change. Right here, today, change. In this moment, change. I wonder if God is speaking to anybody, if it's time to get on your feet. Maybe you're thinking of somebody else, but I want you to close your eyes or your heart, your mind, focus on one person right now, you. And I want you to say this out of your mouth. Get on your feet. Get on your feet. It's time. Get on your feet. There comes a time to weep and wail and mourn. There comes a time to repent, and that has to happen first. But as soon as you repent, you acknowledge Lordship, and you give him real repentance, then you have to do a very important thing that proves that you're a disciple, proves you're a follower. You have to get on your feet. You got to get on your feet. He says, I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and my witness. It's like, I didn't just put you on your feet for a reason, just to get you out of your mess. I didn't save you to be a better version of yourself. You can be a nicer Paul to Christians now. You can start a bakery or something. You know, Paul's muffins. He said, I save you for a purpose because I love you. But I need you to understand, I've appointed you as my servant to be a witness because I'm Lord. And if I'm really Lord, then you're my servant as well. You're not your daddy God only. You're Lord. And I am master. And when I send you and I say get up, then it's time to get up when you feel like laying down. There comes a point. And then he says to him, get up. I appointed you to what? Tell people. Why couldn't he say, why couldn't Paul just say, No, I don't want any part of that. That's what I said when the Lord asked me to speak in front of people. I want no part of that. That's my wife. That's absolute truth. I want no part of that. My temperament's like, no, 14 seconds with people and I'm drained. I need to be down an island somewhere by myself. Put me in the woods with elk. Let me sniff the pines, you know. No, he said, you got to tell people. Why couldn't Paul say, no, I can't do that? That doesn't witness to me. I don't feel comfortable. Why couldn't Paul say no? Because Jesus is Lord. Paul all of a sudden realizes it's a Lord. He's Lord now. Tell people that you have seen me and tell them what I will show you in the future. Tell them what I'll show you in the future. He's going to write some stuff. From where? Prison. From the prison I'd be fighting to get out of hard. The restrictions that God puts in my... I'm naturally a rebel. I don't know if that shocks anyone. There was a time I would have worn my hat on stage just because I knew it ticked people off. Ever do something like that? You got your freedom, you go, I don't care. I got my freedom. Proud to be an American, I'll be real, real free. God's okay with me. Sometimes we fight against to get out of the prison that God built for us. He preserves our life and gets us to do the job he's called us to do. Sometimes they're called boundaries. Sometimes the restrictions that we pull against and push against and fight against. God can't really mean that. It was 2,000 years ago. No, he means it still today, same yesterday and forever. It's the Old Testament, yeah. It's the Old Testament Jesus is preaching and talking out of. This Paul's telling about the Old Testament. It wasn't written yet. Why? Because Paul wasn't put into prison. Prison can save your life. He says this, and I will rescue you from both my own people and the Gentiles. So prison was Paul's place of protection, huh, Jake? He says, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Why? So they may turn. So they may turn from darkness to light and turn from the power of Satan to God. Then, turn, he says, teach them you got to turn. You got to turn. You can't live just an improved old life. You got to turn. You got to go, that's sin, and I got to deal with it. It can't trip me up anymore because I'm going to put boundaries in place to make sure it doesn't happen. Why? Because I love God more, or I'm going to stay in this thing he's asked me to do because I have no choice because I love him. He's Lord. He rescued me. I have to turn. I can't just go, well, I got baptized. I got forgiven, and I'm just going to go back to being Cocaine Bob. I don't know. Just came out. I don't know. There's a turn that has to take place. Turn, then they will receive forgiveness. Ooh. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people. God's people who are set apart by faith in me. The Lord says, tell them, turn to God as Lord, and then I'll forgive. We want it the other way. We want him to forgive us, give us the benefit package. I'm here to interview you, God. What are the benefits for me? Deuteronomy 27, 28. Okay. Forgiveness is in. Okay. Well, thanks for the interview. I'll get back to you later. No, he said, don't even come here if you haven't turned. Don't even take the interview if you haven't turned. Don't come see me for forgiveness if you're not willing to turn. And you're not willing to make me Lord. Don't do that. The church should tell them, right? That people should turn to make God Savior, then they get forgiven. Shouldn't the church do that job? Isn't that part of not just Paul's job? That's part of our job. You got to do it well. Don't shout the gospel to anybody. Live it in front of them. Let them ask them questions. But when you have the opportunity, tell the truth. Say, I'm the church now. Acts 26:19. And so King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. It's like that all happened. Remember, he's telling his defense. Knock to the ground, light brighter than the sun. I heard God say this, do that. He's Lord. Jesus. I was, what? So naturally, I obeyed. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Say obedience. Obedience to God. Obedience to God's order. Obedience to God's way to live. All of obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice or offerings or good intentions. Say, obedience. See, every time you get a hard thing, you got to go, you know, man, I don't know if I want to do that. I'm a rebel. Go, obedience. Paul's like, I got to be honest with you, Agrippa. I've been a hardcore prosecutor and persecutor. And all that happened. And then I had this vision in this moment, and everyone with me saw it. And I was on the other side of the team. These guys know I was sent to kill and destroy everyone who believed in Jesus. And then this all happened. And then I had to obey when it happened. You do the right same thing, wouldn't you? If that was you, wouldn't you go, yeah, I would have been. That definitely would be. I'm not that hard-headed. I would definitely be obedient. Say, get on your feet. Get on your feet. Acts 26:19-20. And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first there in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea. Like, I was on it. He said, go tell the people. I'm telling the people. And I also went to the Gentiles, and I preached that almost. Almost. God's about all. It wasn't just the people anymore. It said, everybody, you want to come to me? I'm going to pave the way through the Christ. I'm going to forgive sins and remove any boundaries between me and you. You're going to be able to come directly to me. If you will turn, I'll forgive. Go tell everybody, Paul. So I preach that all must repent of their sins and turn to God. I preach that. And here's the hard part. All must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove that they've changed. Prove they have changed. Prove they have changed by the good things they do. I have a slide. Change requires proof. Yeah, feel the silence for a minute. There are things he's looking for us. Proof. Prove you love me more. Prove that I'm Lord. Turn from the thing I've been getting you to turn from. Work on the thing I told you to work on. Tell what I told you to say. Share my love, people. Go to the places. Be my witness in the world. Go do those things. I love you, Lord, with all my heart and soul. I know every song the worship team plays. But are we changing? And if we're not, it's time to prove. Say, get up on your feet. Get up on your feet. It's time. Acts 26:21-23. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this. Religious folks. For preaching this, and they tried to kill me. They tried to kill me, but God protected me. Why? He put him in the prison. I didn't want to go to prison. Jake didn't want to go to prison. I've never been physically to prison, but I put myself in a lot of prisons. And there's times God put me in a prison and didn't allow me to do certain things or listen to certain things, go certain places that I used to go that were absolutely fine that I can go right now and bring the gospel to, but I couldn't go at that certain time. Why? Because my Lord said no. I had to respect those boundaries. He was protecting me. Why? So I could actually be a better minister of the gospel, not perfect. All fall short. People are messy. I'm a people. I make mistakes of myself. Trying to lead for 21 years, any organization, let alone a church, man, that's not easy. I'm going to blow it sometimes. But sometimes those restrictions are the very thing that protects us so we can become exactly what he wants us to be. God protected me right up to this present time, he said. I've been protected right up to this present time, even when I was doing knucklehead nonsense. Anyone can look back at your life when you're an absolute foolish idiot serving not God, whatever you were serving, you look back and you look at a moment, you go, man, I didn't know God then, but I know he protected me in that moment. Anyone? Yeah, man, there's so many things I look back, that was God. Ooh, it was obvious, wasn't it? Not so obvious, but it was God. Ah, thank you for that growing, Karin. God protected me right up to this present time so I can testify to everyone. That's why, you know, one of Jake's prison stories, the reason it happened, just one of the many thousand reasons, so he can stand up here today and tell you. So I can testify to everyone from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen. This is 100% scripture, Paul's saying. What I'm talking about isn't my own fantasy, the own things happen. I had this moment on the road. I didn't, like, you know, lick a cactus and trip out. This is all scripturally backed. That the Messiah would suffer and be the first to raise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to the Gentiles alike. You want to see some proof that God still changes people today? I got some pictures and proof. You know those guys even a year ago, 2 years ago, there's guys doing stuff. Coming in off the streets with not knowing anything and all messed up. Anyone else come to Jesus that way? Anybody not that way anymore? That's proof. That's proof that God does stuff. And I could take some of your pictures and put them up. I just like to pick on Shaunzi and Jeff because they let me. You know, but God's proof. Has it been a perfect ride? No, been hard ride, Shaunzi. Had your ups, your downs. Fine. But are you the same Shaunzi you were before you accepted Jesus? Not even close. Why? Because God's doing things, right? Are you the same? If you're not, raise your hand. If God's doing things in your life, raise your hand. Show yourself. Has God proven you to the world as a letter of Jesus to the world? Is he? I hope so. Acts 26, 24 through 26. Suddenly, Festus shouted, Paul, you're insane. Right in the middle of him speaking, Paul, you're insane. Too much study has made you crazy. I'm pretty sure I've heard Kaylee shout that at Alejandro at times. Too much study made you crazy. Stop reading that radiology book and come over here. Have a sandwich with me. So I can't, baby. I got to study. No sandwiches for me. But Paul, Festus shouted, you're insane, Paul. Too much study has made you crazy. But Paul replied, I'm not insane, most excellent Festus. What I'm saying is the sober truth. And King Agrippa knows about these things. Like, ask King Agrippa, the one who studied the word, the one who knows all the customs and the laws. Ask him if I'm insane. Doesn't the scripture tell us that? Yeah. But Paul replied, I'm not insane, most excellent Festus. What I'm saying is the sober truth, and King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I'm sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner. It wasn't a little secret, you know what I mean? The world knows about it. I want to read the Amplified, because I know you guys love it to be long-winded. I know that you love that. Acts 26, 27 through 29. King Agrippa, do you believe the writings of the prophets and their message and their words? Hey, King, you believe the Old Testament, right? Doesn't it guide your life like it's supposed to guide every other Hebrews? It guides your life, right? The Old Testament? Yeah, Agrippa, is that what you live your life by? You're a Hebrew. You're a king. Hebrew, right? So yeah, absolutely. King Agrippa, do you believe the writings of the prophets and their message and their words? I know that you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time, with so little effort, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Almost persuade me. With such little effort, you almost persuade me. And Paul replied, whether in a short time or a long time, that's my goal, bro. If you're in my life, I'm going to give you the best version of Jesus I have, and I'm going to tell you the absolute truth, no matter how painful it is, because I want you to know the King of the universe, and that's the message he gave me. So I hope you does right today. I hope someone today, if you don't know Jesus, right today, I hope you feel him tugging at your soul, and you have your moment that you just fall on your knees before him, and then you get up. That's what he's saying right here to Agrippa. I want that for you right now. But he said, even if it takes a long time, I hope you see my life and I'll be in prison a while. And I hope you keep watching my story. You pop it up on Netflix and you read it over and over again and watch it and see what I'm doing right. Because I hope in the long run, I don't want to see you not with our Father. I want my life to play out for you, whether it's right now or a long time. Paul's preaching. Then Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time, you wish so little effort. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, short or long, I wish that God, not only you, I wish to God, not only, because remember, it's not just a one-on-one thing. He's got everybody there. Remember, Bernice is there. Everyone's listening. He says, not only you, but also all who hear me today might become as I am, except for these chains. He's like, I hope everyone here listening to the gospel gets to hear it. I hope you're just not putting me on trial or my message on trial or criticism or blast or that I wore a hat. I didn't know the words to the song. I hope you take this moment as the church. And let it draw you to your feet. Let it bring you back to your first love. May you find new love again. I pray the Lord draw you back to your feet. Acts 26, 30 through 32. Then the king, the governor, and Bernice, they're all listening. Their names are there. They heard the same message. Agrippa was almost persuaded. Man, he's like, I see what you're saying, Paul, but I got a lot of pressure. Why? I got Bernice in my life. And Bernice is always talking in my ear. She kind of knows, like she's supposed to be a Hebrew, but she doesn't live the lifestyle, but she's awful pretty. The governor, who's supposed to be over this whole town, I just preached the gospel to him. He said, I hope you all heard it. And then they left. Those three left. And as they went out, they talked it all over and agreed. They agreed. This makes no sense. They agreed. This man hasn't done anything to deserve death or imprisonment. Like, why is he going to prison? Why is Paul going to prison, anybody? If they all agreed that he shouldn't go, and it makes no sense, why is he still going? Boom. Prison was part of God's plan this season for Paul. That's not a popular way to preach at church. But sometimes God puts us in places to cause us to grow, to cause our testimony to grow, and to keep us from our own harm or from the harm of others. Right? Prison was part of God's plan. So as I end, I have some 1-2-3s and some ABCs because everyone likes homework. Corinne, right? Haren, homework? She's like, yes, Pastor, I love homework, especially when you give it to Chris. Yes, yes. It's a wife truly spoken. Yes. Just pick it on, folks. You ready? 1-2-3s and ABCs I want us to take away today. Number one, God gave Paul safety by stashing him in prison. Don't forget that. Ask him, if you're in a prison you put yourself in, get out. Ask God how you're supposed to get out, get help to get out, get out. If you're in a prison that you know your consequences put you in, own up to it. Repent from it and turn, and you watch the doors open out of that prison. But if you're in a place, in a prison, in a situation of where God put you in, stay there until you get what God asks you to get. Number two, God will give an opportunity for you to testify, just like he did to Paul, to a world leader. He'll use your life. You'll be shocked the number of people. I had no idea. One of my high school friends for a couple years on the football team would get a hold of me, and we'd talk about Jesus, and he'd find Jesus and get saved. And that, it was amazing. You guys got to be part of his baptism. And you watch what God does. Pray for Chris, man. God's got a call in that guy's life. You got to testify wherever he gives you opportunity. Don't be afraid. The third thing I want you to remember about God's prison season for Paul paved the way for Paul to not just testify, but he also wrote the New Testament portions that we use today as canonized scripture. If I were Paul, I would have bounced out of prison as soon as possible. I might have been said, hey, you got any brothers that bust me out? Yeah, let's bust out. Yeah, screw those Romans. Those Jewish religious people, they know. I found God. They can stuff it. Let's get out of here. Bake me a cake with a nail file in it. Paul's muffins. Make me a big muffin with a cake in it. And then put a nail file up in there. Yeah, get a rope. Put it in my lasagna. You could bring me treats. Remember, they could bring them stuff. I'd be like, hey, when you bring me that ham salad sandwich or something, I'll just sneak a little hacksaw in there. I'm just telling you, I'd want to be, but I didn't want to be like, yo, no, I'm just loving prison. I've never heard that in all my life from anyone who's ever got out, been in. No one's ever, I loved it there. Wish I was there again. Never once. But if God put one there, see beyond your own self and what it will do to other people's lives and their freedom. If you get what you need from your prison time, you'll be feeding other people's lives. That's my 1-2-3s. My ABCs are this. A, are you under enemy attack? Do you feel like you're in prison? You don't got to raise your hand, but if you feel like the enemy's just been attacking you on all sides, and you feel like you are swarmed and you are overwhelmed, I have good news for you. Say obedience. Be obedient to God, because it's the key of you getting out of the enemy's attacks. You want to get through? Go through God. Giants come in front of us. Go through God. If you're under attack from an enemy, be obedient. B, are you in a prison that you made by your own choices? I have great news. You ready? Say obedience. Obedience to him is going to be key to getting out of that. You see how obedience is unlocking the door here? C, has God placed a stiff prison boundary in your life to possibly protect you? Then be obedient with what he asks and be faithful where you are. Everyone wants a raise and a better job, but not everyone's willing to do the job that causes them to get the raise. You got to be faithful where you are. Those who are given little, be faithful with little. Those who are given much, be faithful. If we're not faithful with what we're given, we're not faithful with our prison sentence. If all I'm doing is writing the governor how I want out and asking for file muffins, I'm going to be in prison a lot longer because I don't get it. No one wants to be in any of the prisons, the ones we create, the ones the enemy puts us in, and we do push against God's prison. But God said, my will be done, Paul. So let's not fight against it. Let's get out of the season what we're supposed to get out of this season. God's done amazing things here for 21 years. Spread the rumor, the shmuga, that at some point in time we're going to a new land, a new building, a new space, but we are the same people of God. So I am the church. I am the church, right? So stand with me. Stand with me. Father, I thank you for the church. I thank you that you love us enough to keep us from doing our own thing sometimes. I pray that we wouldn't come to hate the word obedience. It wouldn't bring out the rebel hat wearer in me. It wouldn't cause me to snarl and pull against the rope or look to break out of a thing that you want to do in me and through me. So, Father, do in the church what you want to do this season so you can work through us to the rest of the world. And the church said, amen. Amen. Love you.